Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
Father, the life that we live, you give to us. We love you because you first love us. We surrender. In one accord, we say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your word. Yes to your spirit. Yes to your grace. We say yes, Lord. Yes to your instructions. Yes to your instructions. Yes to your leading. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you are set to do in our midst this morning. Thank you for many that are going to be saying yes indeed to your instruction, to your word, to your grace. Thank you. We glorify your name, Jesus. We adore you. We magnify you. We worship you. We bless your name. We bow our heart in adoration, in worship, in reverence. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We yield ourselves to you this morning in hearing, in teaching, in speaking, in our words, in our character, in our comport, in everything. We yield ourselves to you. We're not saying this yes only in song, but we are saying it in our attitude to your word, to your spirit this morning. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. You can have your seat in God's presence. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Celebrate Jesus. Praise the Lord. How many of you love the Lord here? Yeah? I love the Lord. He's so good to me. God is good. And all the time. Yes, God is good all the time. And it's so good to always say yes to God, to say yes to his word, to say yes to his will. You will never regret it when you make that kind of decision to say yes, yes, and yes, and yes, and yes to his will, to his word, to his ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you are glad to be in church? Yes. Praise God. We're still on the Accuser series. Amen. I want to believe that you're not tired of that. Okay. So we started a series a couple of weeks ago, the Accuser series. We have done a little justice to some concept regarding the number one accuser of the brethren. And the number one accuser of the brethren is the devil, Satan. Whichever name they call him or it. No, that's enough. Praise God. So we've looked at that, and we looked at the fact that we have a place in Christ Jesus. We have an authority. I think the echo is pretty much too much. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. So we've looked at the fact that we have an authority, and we've seen the fact that Jesus told the disciples, and likewise by extension the church, that he has given them, he said, this sign shall follow them. He said, they shall take up deadly things and all them. They shall tread upon serpents. And we see all kinds of authorities. Luke 10, we've seen Jesus giving words to us, to the church, that we have authority over the schemes and the wiles and the gimmicks of the enemy. And he says, nothing shall by enemies out us. And the Bible says that we that rejoice, that the accuser of the brethren is cast out from the place of authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And by extension, we have looked at heavens and earth. we touched a little about heaven and hell, amen, but not deep, but we touched it a little. And just for those who didn't catch up with that, you can go ahead and download the messages on our YouTube pages and also SoundCloud and the other one, Anchor. All right. Praise God. And this is, I just thought I would, you know, today we'll just do, we're still doing the Accuser series, but we'll do it like this. Repentance towards grace or towards God. Hallelujah. We're still within the emphasis, you know, of the accuser, but we're doing this in the light of repentance. Hallelujah. And I think the song also came out well because in repentance or in repenting, we have to at some point say yes. Amen. And before I take a leap into repentance, I would like to say this, that it is possible, hallelujah, it is possible for someone to fall from grace. Hallelujah. It is possible for someone to fall from grace. To fall from grace means you have departed from grace. It's possible. Amen. It's possible. The Bible, the Bible clearly put it out. But very important, I want to do something, okay? And what I want to do, because as I said, falling from grace now, I bet that a lot of, interpretation has come to our minds, okay? But I would like us to learn something. Amen? I would like us to learn not to think outside of the scriptures. So if you must think, you should think in the scriptures. For you to be healthy, for you to have an healthy Christian life, you must think in the scriptures. You must not think outside of the scriptures. Am I communicating to us here? Yeah, the scripture must be your thought guide, your thought pattern. The scriptures must form the fabric of your mind. The scriptures. The scripture is our evidence. The scripture is our proof. The scripture. I was talking during the week to some groups, and I said this. You see, I made a decision years ago never to be deceived. And or not just about deception, but to always try to get to the bottom of it, of something. In other words, I don't easily get, let go of a concept, especially when I'm studying them. I have to be challenged. Every challenging question, especially within the scriptures, must be answered. Amen. Are we together here? There are no gray areas. The only reasons why we may not be able to say some things is just because we may not be able to bear them now. But as long as we can't bear them now, we hope that we will bear them later. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Yes. But the entire body of the truth is supposed to be known and understood by every believer. Am I communicating here? Yes, sir. And this is it. This is it. This is it. The truth, we have said this several times, that the truth is not a concept. The truth, you cannot find the truth in reading books. No, you can't find the truth in reading plenty books. No. Somebody, I remember some years ago, I met someone who said, and asked me that, how many books have I read to have come to this conclusion? I said, well, I mean, there are so many deities, or better still, idols, or, all over the world, millions. If you want to read all about the millions, especially if you go to India, for example, you see over 3 million gods and idols, where, if I'm correct here, I have millions of them, and all of them have their own precept and principles of how things ought to go. And so if you decide to venture into details of everything, you're going to kill yourself. Okay, details of everything that you want to know, everything before you come to a conclusion, you will kill yourself. All right? And the thing is, the truth speaks for itself. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to, arrive at, where I'm going. But the truth speaks for itself. Amen. Amen. The truth speaks for itself. And when Jesus came, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. clearly. And, you know, that suggests to us that the truth is not found in books or volumes of books. The truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. Okay, the truth is a spirit. The Bible calls the spirit of truth. The truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. So when you have known Jesus, when you have received Jesus, you have known the truth. Amen. I say again, if you have known Jesus and you have believed Jesus, you have known and you have believed the truth. The truth is not a concept. The truth is a person. It is in him that we find ourselves in the truth. We find ourselves, we find the truth about ourselves, about life, about everything. Hallelujah. So it's possible for someone to fall from grace. Look at it. Galatians 4. Let's go there quickly. Galatians and chapter 4. Galatians and chapter 4. If you're there, say Jesus is Lord. Galatians 5, sorry. Galatians 5. Galatians and chapter 5. We read from verse. Galatians 5. Amen. We are starting with Galatians 5 for a reason. This is the first reading. Galatians 5, we read from verse 4. It said, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. What happened? He said, you are falling from grace. I repeat again, I did not write this. He says this, if you are justified by the law, he says you are falling. Not you were. He said you are falling. You are in that state. You are in the falling state. Amen. So in other words, he's saying that Christ can only be the means of justification. That justification can only be found in grace. Are we together, everybody here? Am I communicating to us here? So I repeat again. Look at it again. I did not write that. He says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Christ will profit you nothing. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. We started by saying that there are two accusers that were prominent in the scripture. Number one accuser is Satan. We see that in Revelations. Go there. Revelations. Amen. Revelations and chapter 12. Revelations. Amen. Amen. Did you see that? Revelations 12, we read verse 10. Okay, so let's start from 9. He said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10, what did he say? He said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast out. Okay? Is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So we see that the devil accuses. So the devil clearly here, the devil is an accuser. Now another one, clearly again, in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, amen. So we were able to touch the accuser, the number one accuser, which is the devil. But we're looking at the part two, okay, of the second accuser. So John 4, are you there? John and chapter 4, we're reading verse, amen. John 5, sorry, I think 5, yeah. 5, John 5, John and chapter 5. Look at what Jesus said there, verse 4. He said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Okay? For there is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now, by Moses here, he's not talking about Moses as a person, but he's talking about the writings of Moses, which is the law. Okay? Now, there's a concept that we have to understand, because this is very important, that the law, okay, the law was not meant to justify man. The law was not given for justification. So he says this, he clearly says that the law accuses. Amen. Did you see that? So we see two accusers, the devil, and Jesus is saying here clearly that do not think I will accuse you to the Father. I will not accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you believe, okay, whom you have trust. But he said this. He said, if you have read Moses and you understood Moses clearly, he said, you would have come to a conclusion of me. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, so this is it. So the law does one job, and one of the things that the law does, okay, it accuses. Amen. So look at John. Go to John chapter 1. John and chapter 1. Amen. John and chapter 1. We're reading verse 17. Now, John 1:17. He said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you are reading your Bible here, okay? You're not just looking at, okay? You're reading, you're seeing it. So he said, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he's saying what we read earlier. He said, if any of you are justified by the law that was given by Moses, he said, you are falling from what? Did I write it? Am I the one that wrote it? Did you not read in your Bible? Exactly. So he said, if you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. How many of you desire to be falling from grace here? You know, when I started talking, you know, I said something. I said this. I said, oh, you know, it's possible for someone to fall from grace. And this is the concept that many thought it would mean. This is what a lot of people think it would mean. To fall from grace means probably you have seen a particular sin. Okay, you have been misbehaving. No, that is not falling from grace. Falling from grace is when you go to the law of Moses to seek justification. That is Bible. Amen. Okay, still looking at me? So, for example, amen. Are we together here? Go back to John, Galatians 5. Go to Galatians 5 again. It is not Quran that you are reading. Neither are you reading anatomy textbook. It is Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you are angry with that place, you can tear it out, but it does not remove it from my own Bible or from every other's Bible. So he says this clearly, okay? So he can only remove it from your own Bible, okay? And you have done yourself injustice. So he says again, he said, Christ, let's read together, everybody, want to go. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. Amen. Say, I refuse to be falling from grace. I can't hear. Say, I refuse to fall from grace. So what are you saying when you say you refuse to fall from grace? You are saying that I refuse to go to the law of Moses to seek justification. That's what you are trying to say. It's simple as ABC. Nothing. There's no special revelation behind it. Oh, maybe, Pastor, you're not getting it. That is what he's trying to say. What is grace? Somebody say, grace simply is what Jesus has done for us. What God did for us in Jesus is grace. So we started by saying, we read it again. He said, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by who? By Christ Jesus. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth. So when the Bible authoritatively says these things, that the law was given by Moses, the law was, did you read that part? John 1:17, he said the law was given by Moses. The law was given by Moses. See, we have said this several times. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten law. So what he gave is he gave Jesus. The solution is Jesus, not the law. We're going to look at it. Look at it. Look at Romans. Look at Romans. Romans. Amen. Oh, man, I have so many scriptures popping in my mind. Hallelujah. All right. Let's do Galatians again. Oh, man. Galatians must have been tired of me. Galatians. Amen. Let's look at Galatians 2. So we are looking at repentance. Now, before we proceed further to what we are talking about. Now, what do we mean by repentance? Okay, repentance. So, for example, there's a lot of concepts that we must deliberately go and define. For example, when we talk about grace. For example, when somebody tells you that, oh, grace, what comes to a lot of people's mind is second chance, or third chance, or one more chance. Grace is not chances. Grace has nothing to do with chances. No, grace is the person of Jesus. Jesus is grace personified. Am I communicating to us? So it's not like, you know, when you say, well, you know, when you are talking to people, you say, well, let us give him grace. It means that let us give him chance. So because our daily vocabulary, okay, we have now used those daily vocabulary to define scriptural vocabularies. Those are the things that bat error. Okay, so it's simple. What is grace? It's what God is doing in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What he did, what he is doing, that is grace. It's embodied in Jesus. Amen. Am I communicating to us here? So look at it. Galatians. And so we said, so repentance. So the word repentance, look up. Sorry, you're going to be a little digression here. Repentance simply is from the Greek word metanoeo. So it means to change. It means to think differently afterward. Amen. So to repent. Repentance. The word repentance means to think differently after what? So in other words, if this is the way you used to think, now you begin to think differently after what? So after now, so you think in a certain way, you have an encounter. After the encounter, you are having a different way of thinking. Now, repentance is not actually change of behavior directly. So directly, repentance is not change of behavior. Now, behavioral change, am I communicating to us here? Behavioral change is what we call the fruit, the product or fruit meat for repentance or fruit of repentance. Okay, let me give an example. For example, let's do some scriptures. We'll come back here. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Act 2. Should we do Act 2? Act 2. Amen. Praise God. Let's do Act 8. Act in chapter 8. We'll come back to Galatians. Because the strong and the bone of contention today is repentance. So there will be much stress on repentance. So what did we say about repentance? It means to think differently what? Afterward. So okay. All right, let's look at the usage of the word repentance in the scriptures. Okay, Act chapter 8. Amen. Act 8. Let's start reading from Act 8. We start reading from verse 18. Act 8:18. Now, so this was Peter. Okay, so ministry. So look at it. Verse Act 8:18. And when Simeon, from 17. He said, then laid their hands on them, and they received what? The Holy Ghost. So you are together. Verse 18. And when Simeon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Money. So who did Simeon offer money? The apostles. Why did Simeon offer the apostles money? Because he saw that through laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given to men. No, so how did Simeon know that Holy Ghost was given to men? It means that they saw manifestations of the Holy Ghost. So when the apostles were laying hands, men were either getting filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, or there was clear demonstration of the Spirit. So when Simeon saw it, the Bible says, he said, look at what he says again. He said what? He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive what? The Holy Ghost. So look at that kind of thinking. So Simeon thought that, hey, I can buy my way into divine reality by paying money. You know, people do it. You know, people do it. I want to tap into an anointing. I want to tap. See, let's put that one aside. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's just put that aside. No, we're not even talking about, there's a thin line. Listen up, everybody. There's a thin line between honoring. So honoring and, you know, trying to buy your way into a grace. See, this is it. How did we receive, for example, I have told us here once, how do we receive the Holy Ghost? It is through believing the gospel. So the same way. So how did I receive the Holy Ghost? I believe the gospel that Jesus died, And because I believe that, I receive what? The Holy Ghost. The same way the Holy Ghost is given, is shed abroad freely. For God so loved, he that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him? Freely. So, how does God give? I repeat, listen, I go on now. How does God give, please? Freely. God, does God give because you pay money? No. Now, but this is not saying that you don't give towards the gospel. We give for the furtherance of the gospel because we love God, we love his work, and we are giving towards that. Now, that's what it is. So it's an act of faith. So you don't give to tap grace. You don't give to, you can give to honor. Because the Bible instructs us to give, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you are giving for that. So, but I remember one time like that, somebody came to me, you know, somebody to tap. And I told the person, you can't tap with this. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember. But I had to explain to the person, though I didn't allow the person to go with the money. Amen. What I did was I explained to the person clearly why the person was going to give. Why? And the person understood it. There was repentance. Then I took it. Amen. Okay. Yes. Okay. I said the truth. And shame the devil. Amen. So look at what happened here. Let's go back there. Acts. Look at it. Where did we stop? Verse 20. He says, look at it. Verse Simeon. Okay. 19 says, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. You know, this one's even very cruel. Your money perish with you because you have thought. Somebody say thought. Because you have what? Thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, let me tell you this. Now, did Simon have the thinking that gift of God can be purchased with money? Yes. Now, what if Simeon did not even practically and physically give him money that all men are seen? Is the thought retained? Yes. So, in other words, it's possible for people to have a particular mindset and not manifest it as at now or seen of all. But the thought is there. So what I'm trying to say is simple. That what repentance is a change of what? Of thought. Because if the thought has changed, that so what, for Simeon's case, which thought should change? It thought you change to the fact that, hey, God gives freely. When I believe Jesus, I receive the embodiment of truth, of grace. I give myself to the things of the Spirit, to prayer, to releasing the gift of the Spirit. You know, I give myself to the things of the Spirit. Am I communicating here? So he must have a change of thought. Am I too fast here? Oh, okay. Thank you. So in having the change of thought, okay, he will act accordingly. Their behavior will change. Amen. So if behavior change and the thought is not changing, for example, you can tell somebody, well, nobody should give money here. But still, people that are sitting here are still having thinking, they still have thought in their mind that they can buy their way out. You cannot buy the gift of God by money, you cannot. How do you receive the grace of God? It's freely, by believing the gospel. And as you believe, you give yourself to the things of the Spirit, then you receive of God. Hallelujah. God gives freely. The Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. God gives freely. Amen. You cannot tithe your way into righteous living. Amen. You cannot. You only receive righteousness as a gift from the Father. Amen. Are we together? Yeah. You cannot buy your way into overcoming demonic oppression. How do you do it? You receive authority in Christ Jesus. You receive deliverance in Christ Jesus. And you use it in Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. It's not saying, if you give this. Now, is it good for us to give? Yes. Why do we give? Because we love God. We love his work. And does God reward giving of faith? Yes. The Bible says God is not unjust to forget our works and labor of what? Of love. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's keep reading. So where did I stop?
Verse
verse 20. So then Peter 21. Thou art, he said, thou, verse 21 now. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Which matter? Which matter? The matter of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Why Simeon does not have lot and part in it? Because of his wrong thought. Are we together here? Because of his wrong thought, he does not have part in this. So is it possible for a believer to have a wrong thought about certain things of God? Yes. So what should we do to teach the believer about God so that the thought can change? Look at what Paul now said. Peter now said, verse 22. He said, repent. What does it mean? Change the way you think afterward from this wickedness. What is the wickedness? What is the wickedness? So it means that when somebody take money to want to tap into a grace or anointing, what is that supposed to mean? Wickedness. Hallelujah. Amen. So what now that's what, because this is going to be very difficult for some of us, okay? Now, but and I believe because the Holy Spirit will cause you to repent. So this is, I'm just explaining what repentance is. Repentance simply means to change the way you think about certain things. So is it bad to give? Then you have to now know, how does God define giving? How do we give? In the line of the scripture, how do to give? You have to do it in the way the scripture says you should do it. Amen? I have told us one, giving to the poor, I told us one, giving to the poor and giving to the kingdom work is still giving. Giving is giving. We give because we love God. It's not about giving, the teaching is not about giving, but we're talking about repentance. Look at another one. Act. Are we together, everybody? Act 17 or Act 28. No, let's do Act 17. Repent. To repent means to change the way you think. So when we started saying, when we started it, I said this, that it is possible for someone to fall from grace. But a man may thought that, to fall from grace means the person has been behaving badly, has been lying, or has been sinning, or has been doing something that is bad. So that person as falling from grace. But that is not what the Bible teaches about falling from grace. What does the Bible teach about falling from grace? He said, a man who goes to the law for what? What has happened to that man? Even if he has collar on his neck. Even if he has not even lied. Neither has he stolen anybody's money. It's not me, it is Bible. So, you know, this one is a difficult thing to think now. But it is scriptures. You have to think it. Now, listen, what does grace do? So, we're not saying, okay, well, now, is this a licentious to give room? Somebody was telling me recently, he says, I was discussing with somebody, and the person said, you know, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We have taught it several times here. And but it will suffice us to look, and that's King James English. It will do us well, okay? It will do us well to go into it and probably to check it again. But let's do the act. Act what? 17. Thank you. Act 17, we read verse 22. Act 17, 22. Act 17 and 22. Now, look at it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marzil and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscriptions to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. This is not the teaching. You know, I've doing a lot of digression. He is the Lord of where? He is the Lord of where? He is the Lord of where? You must know that. Let us sink deep that earth is not Earth is not stinky. That earth, heaven is good. You have to understand it. Heaven and earth, God is the Lord of heaven and earth. You know, we just want to go to heaven. Because it is true. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth adore him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the what? The heavens and earth. Amen. When Jesus will appear and we will be changed, there will be a new heavens. Not one heaven. You know Genesis 1, didn't say in the beginning God created heaven and earth. It's not one heaven. There are multiple heavens. Amen. So, but in 2 Peter 3, I think, let's go there. 2 Peter 3, just go there quickly. Just branch there. 2 Peter 3:13, he said, nevertheless, he said, we according to his promise, he said, nevertheless, we according to his promise, okay, look for what? Wherein dwells where? So, I'm just saying that both of them always come together. They is together. There will be no time in history that earth will be minus from the two. There will always be heavens and earth. Why would there be heavens and earth? There will be authority and a place to exert the authority. There will always be two. So it's not like where, you know, it's only heaven. No, it will not only be, It will not be only heaven, there will be heaven and earth. I'm just saying that this is a digression. It's a digression to fit in to what we taught earlier. Hallelujah. Go back to our act. 17. Is that 17? Where did I stop there? 22? 24. Okay. It's a God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hand, neither is worshipped with men's hand, as though he needed anything, seen to all life and breath and all things. Now, look here, everybody. So, this is the story. Paul got to the place, Mazil, okay, and he saw an inscription where it was written to an unknown God. And people worshipped that inscription. They worshipped that. And Paul started narrating that, hey, so if you look at this deeply, what is Paul doing? Paul is trying to bring their attention from what they have ignorantly worshipped. So why are they ignorantly worshipping that image? It's because of their thoughts. Amen. They thought in their mind that God is unknown. In their mind, they thought what? I repeat, in their mind, they thought what? Let's keep reading. So if you see Paul's explanation, he's trying to reveal the unknown God. So Paul has known the God. He's trying to let them know that the unknown God is known. What is he trying to do? To cause a change of thinking afterward. So that they will think differently afterward. Which is what? Repentance. So repentance is to change the way you think. Let's keep reading. Verse 25. Neither is worshipped with man's hand, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and bread and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the time before appointed and the bounds of the habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poet have said, for we are also what? Israel. Now, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to what? We ought not to what? We ought not to what? That the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God hath winked at, and now command all men everywhere to do what? What are they repenting from? Thank you. From thinking that God is what? Yes, he is found God or God is unknown. So what am I trying to do here by this brief digression? Is to emphasize that God, that the word repentance is what? A change of the way you think. So for example, when a man comes and thinks, for example, that well, righteousness. Okay, let's look at this. Go back to our John. John 4. Amen. So it's good to always take God's thought and allow God. So listen, everybody. Every day we repent. I repent every day. When you read Bible every day, you're studying the Bible, you will always come to a place of repentance. Every day. Repentance is not something that you do once that, you know, in fact, it's as a result of repentance that we are changing, that we are growing. Amen. It's not, so at some point, when you come to tell somebody that salvation is only found in Christ Jesus, what are you trying to tell the person to change the way the person is thinking? That salvation is elsewhere, but now for the person to think differently afterward, that salvation is only what? In Christ Jesus. And what is that? Repentance. So is repentance a component of salvation? Yes. Am I communicating to us here? Okay, I'm going somewhere for a reason. John chapter 5 that we read earlier. John 5. So Jesus started by addressing them. Jesus says, he says, verse 5, he said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. In other words, they had a thought that he could accuse them. So why? Because, you know, Jesus pointed them and changed the direction that there is one who accuses you, and the one who accuses you is what? The law. Are we together? John and chapter 5, verse 45. Jesus says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Jesus will not accuse you to the Father. He said there is one who accuses you to the Father, even Moses, whom you have believed. So let's go back to our Galatians now. So what the aim of this, what this one is doing for us now, is to bring us out of that thought pattern that the law of Moses has certain level of perfection in it. No. There's no perfection. The law of Moses is not supposed to bring perfection to mankind. There's no need to go to the law of Moses to find perfection. Perfection is in Christ Jesus. Am I communicating to us here? Now, look at it. Oh, Holy Spirit. Galatians. Are you there? Galatians. So we read from verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been heavily set for the crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you following everybody? Okay. I hope you're following. So, I repeat, I don't want to rush it so that we all go together. So, he says this. He says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So, he said, are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the spirit, are you not made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Amen. So let's jump to verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the earth through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying that indeed shall all the nations be blessed. Now, are you following everybody? So the first guy who heard the gospel, you know, so to say, is Abraham. I mean, he said, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the preach, not first, but preach before. So the scripture foresaw that God would justify the earth through faith, preach the gospel far before that time to what? To Abraham. Okay? So what is the gospel? The gospel is concerning how Jesus was going to die for our sins, buried, and rose again. That forgiveness will be found only in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. Amen? So when you believe Jesus, you receive what? Forgiveness. Amen. So forgiveness is not what you will receive after and after. Forgiveness is what happened in Christ Jesus. So every day you receive forgiveness, you are technically not asking for it. You are receiving it. Okay, let's keep reading. Why? Because it has happened. Forgiveness has happened. How did God forgive us? By dying on the cross. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So that is when we were forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we were forgiven on the cross. What we do now is to go to men with the gospel, and men will receive what? Forgiveness. At what point will men receive forgiveness? When they start repenting. So when there's a repentance, repenting from what? From thinking before that they could justify themselves by the works of the law, but now they are knowing that, well, justification is only received where? In Christ Jesus, by grace. Am I communicating to us here? Now look at it. Galatians 3. Where did I stop? So we saw that. Now in our says, let's jump to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under what? For as many as are of the works of the law are under what? For as many as are of the works of the law are under what? Now, did I write this part? Did I come in the night and write it in your Bible? No, it is in your Bible. So anyone who goes to the law, you know, say that it is it in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. Now, you see, that shall not. See, you have to understand that. If you go to the law, okay, you are under a curse. It's simple. Amen. There is nothing you can do about it. Cursed be ye. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, if you go, look at it. He said, for as many as are, not even where, because it can be a practical thing, even in the New Testament. In today, many are going to the law to seek justification. So what we are doing this morning is to appeal to us, okay, by the Spirit of God, to repent. Hallelujah. And how are we doing the appealing? By telling us that going to the law, it means you are under what? A curse. Ha! Hey, look at this. Let's keep reading. We've not ended. We'll stop very soon. Hallelujah. For as many as of the word of law, he said, they are under the curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of what? In the sight of God, no man is justified. Why? He said, it is evidence. What happened? The just shall live by what? What is faith? Faith is simple, that I believe what God has done in Christ Jesus, dying for my sins and rose again on the third day. My faith, my belief in that operation is what is called faith. So, which is also what? Grace. Okay. Are we together, everybody? Now, look at it. For the law, amen. For the law is not of. Did you see that? 12. He said, for the law is not of faith. The law cannot be of faith. You cannot come to a believer and begin to introduce the law, because the same way we are saying that, we are praying against deliverance from Satan, oppression of Satan, the same way you have to take your stand and neglect and free yourself from the oppression of the law. Are we together here? Yes, I will repeat this again. The same way. So we are saying that two accusers. Look at that. Go to two. Time will not permit me. Look at two. Amen. Okay, look at four. Okay. Five. Because of our time, that's why I'm jumping. Amen. Praise God. Verse 5, chapter 5. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with what? What is the yoke of bondage? What is the yoke of bondage? He said, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled what? Again. With the yoke of bondage. He calls it a yoke of bondage. So we are looking at two accusers. There are two accusers, Satan and the law. The law makes nothing perfect. Look at it. Let me show you something. Romans 12. I'm sorry, Eva. Oh, man. Romans 12. Romans, is it 12 now? Romans 8. Okay. We're reading from verse 2. It says, "For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh." Now, look at it. Now, why the law? He said the law could not do. He said, "For what the law could not do." In other words, the law, okay, tried to do, but could not. So the law could not, what the law could not do, okay, because it was weak through the flesh. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Amen. Are we together, everybody here? So we saw that. So it's simple that we are free from the law. Hallelujah. We are free from the law. So Jesus said, "Do not think that I will accuse you what? To the Father." Why? I'm going to end up with 1 John. Said, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." There are two accusers. Satan and who?
The law.
And Jesus came and pushed both of these two guys out of your way and stepped in as your intercessor. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus pushed these two out of your way. Nothing is stopping you any longer. You are free. He says, "Stand fast, therefore." Look at that. Go back to our Galatians. Amen.
Amen.
This is powerful. You've got to learn to get out of this. The same way you pray against oppression and deliverance, this is not lasciviousness. This is not what promotes lasciviousness. Like, oh, wow. So now we begin to do anyhow. Now, when you say now, I begin to do anyhow, what you are even saying is that I have gone back to the law. You have not understood it. You have not. So I begin to do anyhow. What is making you to do anyhow is Satan. Are you trying to say the two accusers are at work? You know, we said earlier that what the accuser Satan feeds on is what? The flesh. So is the flesh that's do anyhow. Are you trying to say, yeah? Two accusers, Satan and the law. Say, I'm not under the law now. I begin to do anyhow. You have not understood it. So it is what we have embraced. We embrace the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace is what that is making us perfect holiness in the fear of God, bringing forth fruit, meat for repentance.
Yes,
that indeed we have changed our thinking, and now we are producing fruit of repentance. Amen. I hope this is not too much for us to, as we lay. This is milk. Let me tell you the truth. To be honest with you, this is milk of God's word. This is not even meat. This is milk of what? Of God's word. This is what you will drink that will make you grow thereby. Hallelujah. It's not even meat. Look at that. Let's read Galatians again. Galatians 5. Before we end with 1 John. Now, Galatians 5, it says, are you there? What does it say there? It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free." Now, if you read, I want to admonish all of us. I encourage us to go home and read the book of Galatians. You can finish it in 1 hour or 2 hours. If you are trying to do a study, maybe 4 hours. Now, Galatians 1, read to Galatians chapter 1 to Galatians chapter 6. Read it from beginning. Just be reading. And as you are reading, please, as you're reading, when you get to a certain point, shout when you need to shout. You know when you have, yeah, do yeah. Then wow, do wow. For example, now look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2, 2 to the ending of Galatians 2. Galatians 2:21. Look at what it says there. Galatians 2:21. It says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is what?" So listen up, everybody. Now, how can you read this part and not say, yeah? Now, are you going to try to say? Now, what I'm saying is this. Listen up. How do a man frustrate the grace of God? So somebody say, please, brethren, we must not frustrate God's grace in this house. Now, how do somebody frustrate the grace of God? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? How do somebody fall from grace? Well, you see, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Why? For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So how will I not frustrate God's grace? So I say, well, you better not frustrate the grace that God has given you. I'm not frustrating it. The way I frustrate it, yeah, is if I think, one, I can buy my way out by purchasing, tapping into the anointing. Amen. So I say, well, I want to be able to speak the person if I'm speaking. So I want to buy the utterance. You don't buy the utterance. Now. You have to redefine it so that people start where will not give pastor money again. Now, amen. You know, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the leg. Amen. And the way people say this is, pastor has said we should not be even giving money again. Amen. It's good to give. I give. We must give. It's good. It's honorable. It's a faith thing. Okay, we give. But not to tap, but because we honor. Okay? We honor. We believe what God is doing. We are giving for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we are giving. But not to tap. If you are given to tap, what if I were Peter? I would have told you to perish with your money. Okay, but I don't have such grace and such utterance as Peter's. Because I don't want to hurt your feelings. Amen. Are we together here? But I will tell you that Peter said it. Why? So that when it is time, when you want to, you know, hold grudge, you will hold it against me. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So where did I say we stop earlier? Sorry? Okay. So we read Galatians 2 now, yeah? Okay. All right, let's jump to... Okay. Let's just jump because of time. Let's just go. Let's just round it up. 1 John. Amen. I'm delivered. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm delivered. I'm anointed of God. Grace is at work in me. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born of God. The anointing of God is at work in me. The anointing of God is at work in me. The grace of God is functioning in me. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed of God. I'm born of the Spirit. So look at that. The Bible says we are delivered from the powers of darkness. Into what? Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6. I'm not going there so that, you know, because of time, because I just want to end with 1 John. That will be the last place that me, I will open. Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6. Look at what it says, everybody. Romans 7:6. Look at it. It said, now we are delivered. It is a serious deliverance. You know, when you say, maybe you don't know, because today I'm trying to rush many things. I would have loved to explain how the law brings yoke of bondage. It brings yoke of, there's no freedom of expression. So, you know, to express in the spirit. And it is the law, that's how you see people sit down, they'll be looking at somebody, looking at them, look at that brother. How can this person come to church? Look at tattoo. You will have dada. Amen. Praise God. I'm not saying you should come to church with bra and pants. That's what I'm saying. Of course, that one you will know in your mind. Dada, this one is the devil, Satan. Amen. He will be walking. Because, you know, that's it now. Because whatever we make the flesh of others to aggravate, you tell it's Satan at work. Amen. I'm telling you, that is the truth. So what you have to learn to do is to ensure that, hey, I will walk in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right. While I'm doing that, because you know why? The law is not of faith. The law is not of the spirit. So we must understand the two. That it is not like, oh, we are free from the law, then we are now lascivious. No. To be lascivious means you have gone to the flesh, which is a playing ground of Satan, because he will feed on dust. So the only saving place for us as believers is in the Spirit. So, and when a man has received the Holy Ghost, what does he produce as the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, gentleness, long-suffering. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Because the one who is saying, hey, look at this one, where? Tattoo. Or diseases. In the person's heart, envy, hatred, hurt, unforgiveness. And these are the things that the devil is binding to and destroying the person's life. And the person find comfort in finding fault using the law. You see what they did to Jesus, the woman with the heart of adultery? They said, Master, Moses said, we must stone her. Hallelujah. I have told us, very important, I'm not going to go there. What I am wearing, brothers and sisters, brethren, do I look cute? No, I'm asking, do I look cute today? Yes. At least today. Do I look cute? Yes, thank you. Now, but by all standard in the law, I am a sinner. Like, I am a chronic sinner. Number one, I don't even have beard. I mean, I have cut my beard. I should not have... Amen? Because I cut small. I remain small. I'm wearing clothes. This material is different from this material. In the law, you must not wear clothes of different materials. So you cannot pick one and not use the others. So if we want to pick one against me, let us cuckoo pick everything and all of us cuckoo destroy. We scatter the table. I'm serious, because if you pick one, then we can pick. As you are picking one, I will pick and the only reason why somebody will pick one and we act your soul is because you don't know other ones that are also affecting the other person. As I talk to you, if I pick one law to disqualify you, I have over 600 that has disqualified me. So, we break the table. The only way justification can come is to go to Christ. We go in the Spirit. We receive it by the Spirit. What did I say we should read? 1 John 2. Look at 1 John 2. So, we look at Romans 7. He said we are delivered from what? Romans 7, 6. He said we are delivered from what? He said you are what? Romans 7, 6. Oh, put it up. Put it up before the last one. Romans 7:6. He said, but now we are delivered from the law. Say, now I am delivered from the law. I am not the one who wrote it. Oh, so don't blame me. Don't say we're that pastor in that church. That's how you say we are delivered from the law. Just say, if you want to say it outside, just to save my head, okay? Just say, well, the Bible said, amen, we are delivered from the law. So find your battleground with Paul and with Romans and fight them. Fight Jesus. Fight the scripture. Don't fight me. He said, but now, let's read it together, everybody. And personalize it. But now, I am delivered from the law. That being dead, wherein I were head, that I should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Did you see that? So what am I going to serve now in? In the newness of the Spirit. That is the only safe place for a believer. The Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit is the safest place for the believer. First John, let's just go to First John and we just end there. Just to tell us, because we are talking about repentance, if there's a change of thought, then the thought must be occupied with another thing. So if there's a change of thought that I'm delivered from Satan and from the law who is my accuser and who are my accusers, then I must embrace another. Hallelujah. There must be a way I'm thinking afterwards. Look at what it says there. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Very important. And if anyone sin. So he said, I'm writing so that you don't sin. But if anyone sin, he said, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. Who is the advocate? Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He didn't say you have an accuser with the Father. I have a news for someone today. You have an advocate with the Father. Not an accuser. Jesus started to say, do not think I will accuse you. Then they now, by extension, they say, you have an advocate with the Father. He's like, says here, I will not accuse you. I will stand for you. I will be there for you. I don't care what you have gone through. I don't care your story. Jesus is saying to you that I will stand for you. Hallelujah. I don't care your weakness, your story, what you have been going through, how battered you are, how messed up you have been. Jesus is saying to you, I will stand by you. I will advocate for you. And what is his advocate? Two, he says, who is the propitiation for our sins? Not for us only, but also for what? For the whole world. Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. The advocacy of Jesus is not like he's wearing a cap or a black clothes like Nigerian lawyers. No. Like a notary, no. His advocacy is the cross. He said he's the propitiation. So the advocacy of Jesus is what he did on the cross for you and I. Eternally useful, eternally consistent, what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I am born of God. I have an advocate. Jesus is my advocate. So my mind has changed now. I'm delivered from the law. I'm delivered from Satan and his wiles. And I've embraced Jesus, who is my advocate. Now I repent. I think thus, afterward, that Jesus is my advocate. He's my redeemer. He's my standbyer. He's my encourager. He's my strengthener. He's my comforter. He's my friend. He's my lover. He's my savior. He's my redeemer. Let me tell you something. There are things that you might not be able to even tell me. I'm telling you this for real. Maybe you are thinking, oh, if I tell pastor, maybe he may be looking at me like this. Afterward, well, of course, I wouldn't look like that. But you can tell Jesus. You can tell Jesus. Even if you come to tell me, let me tell you something. I will just introduce you to be seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, set your eyes from above, where Christ is seated. Set your eyes on him. He's our all in all. He's our maker. He's our father. He's our savior, our redeemer, our everything. He's our advocate. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. Come on, pray. Thank him. Bless his name. Thank him. Pour your heart to God. Thank him for what he has brought to you. He brought deliverance to you from the two accusers, from the two powerful accusers. He says, now you, the yoke of bondage is not there. He said, don't be entangled again. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But stand firm. Stand free in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Grace is supplied to you. Grace is supplied to you. When you have repented, there is no way you will have fruit of repentance. Fruit of repentance, which comes as breakthroughs. Which comes as easy breakthroughs. Breakthrough with ease. Freedom with ease. Deliverance with ease. With ease. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.